like to welcome you again to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
It's good to be back.
Well, we've covered John Wycliffe and John Huss, and these three kind of go together, Wycliffe, Huss, and now we come to Martin Luther. And with Martin Luther, really it's a time of turning the age, and I think it's very appropriate that we cover this on the Age Turners website, because Martin Luther was definitely one that, you know, we consider, we call these dispensational instruments. And they were really chosen vessels by the Lord to turn the age. And, of course, Martin Luther was so well known. He turned the age from Catholicism to begin a time of recovery. And, of course, one of the very first great truths that Martin Luther released to us was the matter of being recovered by being justified by faith.
Right.
And so today we'll begin his story. But I think in order to begin, even to appreciate this matter of being justified by faith, it's really important that we all see and understand what kind of background and environment that Martin Luther grew up in.
Right.
So today we'll take a look at that, see his culture, his family upbringing, his schooling, and these kind of things. But it really reminds me to begin with, Bill, that, you know, in Romans chapter 9, Paul spoke of how some attempted to lay hold of righteousness, but they didn't find it. They didn't attain to it because they didn't take the way that God had ordained, and they pursued it. You know, he's speaking of the Jews in particular. They didn't pursue it out of faith, but out of works. And so therefore they stumbled. And this is kind of really the theme of Martin Luther's life, his early life especially, was that he was one pursuing righteousness, but really he was ignorant not only of God's righteousness, but even of God's way of attaining to righteousness. And so this has a lot to do with his background and his upbringing under the very strong influence of Catholicism. So that's what we'll begin to look at here in this podcast here today.
He's one of the giants in church history, no doubt about it. God really used him to begin, you might say, a recovery work from the absolute, you might say, abysmal depths and darkness of Roman Catholicism. I don't think the church could have fallen more into darkness and degradation and decadence that the Roman Catholic Church did. So no doubt to touch Luther is really quite something for us and for our listeners in this session on the Great Resolutions. We need to really look into Luther. We need to look into his life, his background. It's interesting that you mentioned Wycliffe and Huss. You know, we've covered these two. They were, in a sense, like maybe we could say forerunners of the Reformation. Mm-hmm. God really began to use them in the 1300s, the 1400s, and then it seemed like every 100 years or so, God would raise up another, like you say, a dispensational instrument to bring us closer to the truth, further away from superstition, darkness, heresy, and this was the hallmark of Martin Luther. And no doubt Luther's background means a lot. He had a very humble beginning. He was not raised with a silver spoon in his mouth by any means.
Right.
He was born over 500 years ago in November of 1483 in this city in Germany called Eisleben. He was the oldest son of John and Margaret Luther. And of course, right away, they were religious. They wanted to dedicate him to the Lord. So they christened him on the next day after he was born. On November the 11th, and that day happened to be on the Roman Catholic Church calendar, St. Martin's Day. So befitting that particular day, they called him first name Martin after St. Martin's Day. So, of course, after that, he was known as Martin Luther. His father was a miner, I think. I don't know if it was a coal miner, may have been a copper miner there in Germany. He was a peasant. Luther was a peasant. His father was a peasant. They were poor. They didn't have much. Of course, remember, we have to understand this is the 15th, this is the late 1400s, and Catholicism is still a giant on the earth It was still it controlled everything in Europe, and there was nothing outside the Roman Catholic Church. So they were all born into that kind of religion. They grew up in that religion, the whole family. So this is really something of his background to show us what kind of a man he was.
It's kind of interesting, Bill, that you mentioned he was born in 1483. This is only about 10 years or 9 or 10 years prior to the time of Columbus discovering America.
Yeah.
So he was right in that time period. Of course, like you say, I think it was a time of still of darkness and ignorance and superstition in Germany,
right,
where they lived. Of course, Martin, he grew up in a family that was very strict. And Martin's childhood was not necessarily a pleasant one. You know, he testified that he was really under a very strict discipline from his parents, and that even though they did it out of love and they felt it was necessary for his benefit to raise him under kind of a severe punishments, but Martin testified that eventually this caused him to, this did have an impact or have an effect on him. It caused him to grow shy.
Yeah.
And he basically began to view people in authority, and maybe this transferred even to his view of God as being just a severe punisher of wrongdoing.
Yeah.
So he said, Martin said his father flogged him severely.
Yeah.
One day that he ended up running away and held a grudge against his father for quite a while. And his mother, I guess one time Martin stole a nut or something, and he said his mom beat him until the blood flowed.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of upbringing Martin had. And he said later on in life, he acknowledged, he said he knew that in the depths of their hearts they meant well, but he definitely didn't want to continue this kind of child rearing when he became a parent himself. He had this little saying that one must punish so that the apple goes with the rod.
Oh.
You know, so he wanted to not only spank his kids or something, but also to love them at the same time. So anyway, this kind of gives you a view, a picture of this discipline and living in fear, and this kind of harshness was the upbringing that Martin Luther lived in at that time.
That's true, Marty. His parents were really strict disciplinarians. He grew up that way. And not only so, he was living in fear, not so much fear, physical fear, but fear even religiously, in superstition. No doubt they had their concepts about God, that God was a judging God, or just ready to, you know, to break upon people and judge them. So even Luther said from early on, in his early childhood, he would, whenever even the name of Christ would be mentioned at home, he would like be in fear and trembling. That, you know, they were taught again that they had to do something about their sins, you know, that they had to, you know, do particular works. They were instructed to call upon Mary, you know, because the mother of Jesus, she's nice, she's gentle. Christ is rough, tough. Mary is nice, and he if you go to Mary, then the Christ will not be so rough on you, and all these kind of religious okay, nonsense. He lived in fear of like witches, because you know that was a forested area where they grew up in, so they're afraid of the witches in the forest and all that kind of thing. Even in his early school days, they were not days where he had everything. They were in poverty. And
right.
And because he was a poor student, and he was with others who were also poor, they had to try to get money by strolling through neighborhoods, like getting handouts. And then a couple incidences where he would stop in with others in front of a house, and then a person would come out, and instead of you know, being nice, that the Luther and his friends would just run off, be afraid of the people, but the people were really kind to him. But he had these, you know, situations where he had to eventually come back to the farmer and realize that the farmer was for them. So he had. He had a number of experiences like this. He often went hungry. And of course, with the hunger also comes illness because of lack of nutrition.
Right.
So, and then he, even as a youth too, he really witnessed a number of adults, he watching adults and to see what would be his adult life. They saw them in bondage to all kinds of false religious teachings, and so on. So, Luther, you know, was really growing up in a particular period of time. But one time he had a particular experience strolling the neighborhood. He came across this one home and this one woman who was instrumental in being a very, very godly woman by the name of Ursula Cotta. She was a wife of a town official. She was just somehow, she was drawn to Martin.
Yes.
Maybe there was some kind of a, she maybe saw something in this boy that he's not just a, you know, not just a bandit or some kind of a menace to the community, but she opened up her home to him, was gave him loving care and so on. And he later, even Luther testified, he could never forget this woman's kindness.
Right.
And he would say, he would quote, "There's nothing sweeter on earth than the heart of a woman in which piety dwells." So
right.
These are some of the early experiences of Luther.
Yeah, it's amazing to me reading his story. Actually, Bill, I grew up in Catholicism myself, and but not in the Middle Ages or not
yeah.
in the time,
yeah,
not
right.
in the time like Luther. But
yeah.
you could see all these experiences that he had growing up.
Yeah,
really had a strong influence, even especially the one you mentioned, that his view of Christ.
Yeah,
that it was not really, he didn't get a picture of Christ as the loving Savior.
Right.
But he just saw him. He was presented to him as a stern judge, and just ready to punish. So. Anyway, these things really had impact on him, and the people that he saw along the way, you know, that one you mentioned about this, he was actually a prince who forsook the whole world and all, everything, and he became a monk, but ended up actually even dying because he thought that it was to be, show such a holy living by living under all these heavy requirements and without proper nourishment and... You know, anyway, this kind of environment had a long-term impact on him. Of course, like you mentioned, this one lady or this one Christian home that he ended up in, this was really the Lord's sovereign hand on him.
Right.
That allowed him a way to continue his education and not have to return to the mines.
Right.
To work with his father. So this was, of course, Martin's father himself, he had a very high value on education. And Martin said that when he was growing up, it was not unusual for his father to invite learned schoolmasters or clergy to come to their home for meals. And this also had a positive impact on Martin. He had an aspiration maybe one day to become a schoolmaster himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wholeheartedly gave himself to his studies, and he did begin to show progress. He loved to study the languages. He took a real interest in poetry, which actually, if you read some of Martin Luther's hymns, you can see he really had a gift in writing poetry. So this kind of education was so valuable. In fact, not only this family helped him, but even others in the education circle began to notice Martin. And one time they had a visiting scholar come from the University of Erfurt to his high school, I guess it was, and told the instructors there to keep an eye on Luther, that there's something in this boy. And then he told Luther, he said, "The Lord has bestowed on you some special gifts." He said, "You should use them faithfully in his service." So anyway, Martin continued on in his education. Well, not only he was excelling, but even his father was eventually making progress in his own business, and he became more financially able to help Martin to further his education. And so eventually he was able to go to the university there at Erfurt, and this gave him an ability. Of course, his father provided the funds, but he also gave the direction. He told Martin that he wanted him to become a lawyer, and this of course, was to be adjusted as the as his time and education went on and his experience went on. So this is the experience of Martin growing up. I think it's quite interesting, huh, Bill?
Marty, you mentioned about the education. That was a big thing. His parents instilled in him this great desire that he should be very well educated. And no doubt, probably his father saw some real potential in his own boy, Martin, and wanted him, of course, to be a lawyer. Of course, to be a lawyer at that time, that's not a small thing. We're talking 500, you know, some years ago. Of course, in his college years, because of the his father was prospering somewhat enough to send him to that University of Erfurt, like you mentioned, but his college years were not without, you know, some troubles and turmoils. At one point, he lost a close friend who just suddenly died. That shook him up and caused him to start considering, hey, what's the meaning of human life here? He began to consider not just temporal matters, but eternal matters about his future and about his whole life.
Right.
And then while he was traveling one time, this is around the beginning of the 16th century, 1504, he accidentally stabbed himself. You know, those days, the people would carry a sword with them in case of bandits and that. And he somehow, he stabbed himself and would have bled to death, but he was miraculously brought to a doctor, and or else he could have bled to death right there. And he said later, he said, had I died then, I should have placed my trust for salvation in Mary, because not in Christ, but in Mary.
Right.
But not only did he have, Marty, a number of outward problems and troubles, but I think much more serious within him, there was turmoil. And I think we can all testify when we have turmoil within us about, you know, our own life, our own future, the struggle we have within, that's much more serious than the outward things. We got to take care of that that turmoil within. He, at that point in his life, he had no assurance of salvation. He didn't consider God was gracious mm-hmm. to him or favorable, but again, a judging God. And then he had another particular mm-hmm. experience. Really shook him up. He was involved in a violent storm, and one of the biographies I read a number of years ago, a bolt of lightning barely missed him. It would have killed him on the spot. That shook him up more than I think anything else, that in the midst of this lightning and thunder, a bolt of lightning almost killed him on the spot. And then, you know, in great terror, of course, he mm-hmm. didn't call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. He called upon this Saint Anne, who was the patron saint of minors.
Right.
Saying, you know, like, help, Anne, you know.
Right.
If you do something at all, become a monk, you know, this kind of thing. So, on one hand, his life was spared, but he felt committed in his commitment there to become a monk and devote himself entirely to God. And you can imagine what this did to his father when he told his father, and this was a shock to his father. Here the father had dreams his son would be this famous lawyer, and all of a sudden the guy, Luther, is now going into a monastery. So,
right. Yeah, this had a big impact on his father. His father was very upset. Of course, at this time, you know, his parents had 8 children, and they lost 2 of them during one of the plagues. And when Martin went away to the monastery, his father said in his eyes, his son was dead. You know, he said, the monk of
wow.
Erfurt, who is dead also. So his father was so upset that the...
In other words, that, you know, that he's really not dead, but his father considered him dead.
That's it.
That's amazing.
That's it. And so Luther, you know, he when he made this vow, it's really something. During that middle of that storm, like you mentioned, he really cried out, and he made a promise that he said if his life would be spared, he would become a monk. And Luther was very serious, and he honored his vow and to become a monk. And so he really made a strong decision, and he turned his back upon his bright future in law and he decided to forsake the world and forsake the dreams of his father. And he did this all pretty quickly, and he made a very decisive turn to take the way to enter into the monastic life. So maybe we'll stop at this point, Bill. I know Martin Luther's story is so interesting, and there are so many aspects to it, but maybe next time we'll get into his life as a monk, which really began to have a major impact on especially his experience with all the turmoil and his seeking to be holy and to be righteous before God, and how this turned him more and more to come to the Bible. And eventually the Lord, by his mercy, began to open Martin through the speaking of the word to bring him to himself. And maybe we'll cover that account next time when we get together.
Very good. Yeah, it's true, like you say, Marty, step by step, you can see God was preparing him, going into a monastery to be a monk, then eventually going into the university there, you know, eventually finding this book called a Bible.
Right.
This is very, very interesting.
All right, Bill. Well, thanks. And we'll stop here and connect again next time. Thank you.